Don't you wish that you could just get a notification when award availability opens up, rather than having to check the flight routes every day? AwardLogic now offers flight alert notifications. They can provide you with alerts filtered by credit card program, frequent flyer program, or even a specific airline and flight number. Check out AwardLogic and get a free trial by going to geobreezetravel.com/awardlogic. Thank you to AwardLogic for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
Much to our surprise, because we didn't even email hotel beforehand, we got upgraded to a really nice junior suite. We were so surprised. It just happened. We didn't ask for it. We had no idea. They're like, oh, we're going to upgrade you to, you know, I think she said something like, it's the biggest room we have. And I was like, oh, okay. And so we get there and it's a gorgeous room. Like there's a huge, several windows. Like we had windows, I think it was on the east and west, like three windows. And there was a huge window overlooking the gardens and a regular tub right next to the window. And it was just beautiful. It was a huge room, huge bed. We were so excited. I felt like the biggest win in our trip and just really nice, like an unexpected.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Arely Hobbs from Yes to Travel. Arely is the oldest child of a Mexican immigrant family born with a desire to travel the world. Now, as a millennial woman in her 30s, she is ready to fulfill the travel dream she never thought possible, all thanks to leveraging credit card points. Arely works a regular 9-to-5 job and supports her husband while he finishes college, and she plans to go back to school herself to become a registered nurse. In her first year of points and miles, she has already been on 3 trips using points, all while coordinating school schedules and a full-time job. In this episode, Arely and I discuss the illusion of the internet when it comes to points and miles. A lot of the accounts you see online do points as their full-time job, or they're working towards that. And the redemptions you see on your Instagram might feel really out of reach. This episode is to remind you that for every crazy Instagrammable redemption you see, there are hundreds of redemptions where someone is just starting out and saving hundreds instead of thousands of dollars, and that is just as magical as a $20,000 first-class flight that you got for free. If you are just getting started with points and miles, one of the most popular starter card combinations is the Chase Trifecta, which includes the Chase Sapphire Preferred, Chase Freedom Flex, and Chase Freedom Unlimited. Remember, if you decide to apply for any cards, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. If you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards, and we have a link to the Chase Trifecta cards for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Hey, Arely, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hi, Julia. Thank you for having me.
Of course. I'm so excited to have you here. And I think a lot of people will be excited for this episode as well. I know that a lot of the episodes that we've had have been really aspirational travel and first class flights and everything. And that can leave some listeners feeling like they're just not doing this right. Like, why can't I find any great deals to Singapore Suites or Emirates First Class or the Hyatt Alila in California, where they only have 40 rooms and it costs $3,000. And not every trip is like that. A lot of people just take very normal everyday trips and they save on that with points. And that's great as well. So I'm excited for you to share your story, some of the first different award travel vacation redemptions that you've gotten to do. Before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself and your background. And how did you get into the game of points and miles?
Well, I'm just a normal person. I had heard about people using points to travel, but I thought like that was only for rich people. That was only for people who had businesses and a lot of spend and who accumulated a lot of points. And it wasn't until I heard an interview on the financial diet that you did with Chelsea Fagan, and that made me realize, like, oh man, like, I think I can do this. At that point, I had just paid off a lot of credit card debt, and I was ready to start using credit cards in a smarter way, paying them every month in full, and taking advantage of the rewards. And so I just started listening to more podcasts, started Googling more things, following people on Instagram. And my first card was the Chase Sapphire Preferred last year when the offer was 80,000 points. And then a week later, the offer went up to 100,000. But that was okay, because then once I finished the spend on my card, I referred my husband. I got the points for referral. He got the 100,000. And basically with those two offers, I was able to start planning a trip to Europe.
That's incredible. Before we jump into the Europe trip, can you tell us a little bit about your credit card debt payoff journey and what that was like?
Well, it was something that always felt like, man, we're never going to be able to pay this off. And we would just do our best to pay it off. And then when the pandemic hit, I think my husband lost his job, but we started getting the unemployment income. And because of all the extra money we were getting from the government, we just put that all to the credit card debt. And we were able to pay it off last year. Yeah, last year around springtime. So even though the pandemic was a bad situation for a lot of people, I think it helped a lot of people pay off their credit card debt.
That's a really inspiring story. Can I ask how much was the debt and how fast you were able to pay it off?
I don't remember exactly. It was probably around 30,000 at one point. And it took maybe 4 years once we were both able to get more stable jobs. Then that's when we started really paying it down. And it took about 4 years, but the extra pandemic money really helped.
Congratulations. 30,000 is a lot. So I'm sure that feels great to have that off of your shoulders. Were there any other financial resources that you would recommend to people who are also trying to pay off debt, whether it's financial diet or anything else that you used?
The budgeting tool YNAB, You Need a Budget, is amazing at, well, teaching you how to budget, first of all. Because I don't think many people are taught really how to budget. And it's also a really good tool for keeping track of your credit cards and making sure that you don't overspend on them. Because as soon as you spend something on the app, you have to, if it's with a credit card, you have to cover that expense. And so, but when the end of the month comes, that money is already there for you to pay off your credit card in full.
Great recommendation. Yeah, for anybody who's looking into points and miles, to get into points and miles, make sure you have like a good, solid personal finance foundation and that you can pay off all of your credit card debts in full. I know we say this all the time, but if you carry over that balance, the interest will really negate the value that you're getting out of your point. So I'm glad you're in a really great spot now where you're debt-free and you're able to get these different benefits out of your credit card. So when you first heard the interview that I did with Chelsea on the financial diet, did you decide right then and there, like, oh, we want to do Europe? Or was it more of like a, let's get one of the cards and see what we want to do from there?
It was more like, I want to start doing this. It was like, oh, I remember people use points to travel. And then I heard your interview and I was like, I got to start doing this. And then I think it was shortly after I was like, we're going to do Europe. I think for a lot of people, Europe is like one of the first places they want to go to when they plan an international trip. It wasn't my first international trip. In my early 20s, I did go to Peru, but it was the first time my husband was out of the country. And it was the first time we went on an international trip together. So I told my husband, I was like, okay, I will choose the first trip we take, you can choose the next trip. So for next year, now I'm planning, he wants to go to Scotland. So we'll just take turns choosing each year where we go.
That's a fantastic way to do it. How did you go about planning the trip on point? So you had the Chase Sapphire Preferred first. How did you meet your minimum spend?
I mean, just regular groceries. Basically, we did one card at a time, put everything on the card, like groceries, trips to Target, dining out, anything that we had to spend on, we put it on the card. And I think it was like the whole 3 months that it took us to do the spend on each card.
Because the minimum spend on the Chase Sapphire Preferred, for anybody who doesn't know, is about $4,000. So that's a little over $1,000 per month, which for a $12,000 budget, I think that is within most people's range of reasonability of how much they're spending on not housing throughout the year. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially now, groceries are so expensive. Fuel is so expensive. I think I even told my parents about what I was planning on doing. And so, like, if they had something they needed to buy, they'd ask me to buy it for them. And so that helps, too.
That really does help. If you can say, like, hey, I'm trying to meet this minimum spend on this credit card. Is there anything that you're looking to buy that I can just purchase for you and you write me a check or pay me cash back, then that can really, really help. And it doesn't affect your own personal bank account. So that's a great strategy as well.
Yeah, my parents aren't really interested in travel. But they want to help us. And I even added my mom as an authorized user. So she has a card and whenever she uses it, it basically helps meet the minimum spend.
Great strategy. What do you guys do, may I ask? So for like careers, you and your husband.
Well, right now I do work full time, Monday through Friday, regular job at a hospital. I'm an interpreter, a Spanish interpreter. My husband currently is going to school to become a physical therapy assistant. So unfortunately, that makes it so we don't have a lot of flexibility or time to travel, but that's okay. He loves going to school right now. And I'm actually planning to go back to school too to become a registered nurse. So we're kind of college students and working at the same time.
How did that play into when you were booking this trip to Europe? Was it a lot harder when you were like, well, there's only certain windows throughout the year where we can travel and it tends to be during high season? Did that affect your strategy a lot for how you were trying to approach this trip with points?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like when you don't have that flexibility of just going any time of the year, and you have to travel during the summer or during spring break or during winter break, everything is so much more expensive. And you just have to make peace with the fact that there's going to be a lot of people, it's going to be crowded, it's going to be more expensive, you know. But hey, if that's what we got to do this trip, that's fine. And so, yeah, I knew that it was just going to affect the prices of everything and also the availability of hotels, especially it. And it was definitely true. We were in Europe and there was a lot of people, and especially in Paris, the hotels were sold out because there was the French Open happening. And also the Championship League soccer like final match. So even though I booked my hotels way in advance, a lot of them were already sold out.
Yeah, those large sporting events, or if there's any other kind of concert or anything, if you happen to be in the same city at the same time as a Beyonce concert or a Taylor Swift concert or something like that, and it all sells out, then yeah, it can be a lot harder to get hotels. So you mentioned a lot of really good points. Being as flexible as you can be, and if you can't really be flexible with the timing, then at least maybe you can be flexible with cities or flexible with routes or something like that. And then also just going in eyes wide open, because people always share their highlight reel on the internet where they're like, look, I got to fly internationally in this first class flight and I spent $8 and a whole bunch of points. But sometimes that's just not going to be the reality for some people. And so just going in eyes wide open, knowing that if you have to travel during high season because either you're a student or you have kids and you have to get 4 economy flights at the same time, it could be a little bit harder and it could cost you more points than the absolute best redemption that you saw on Instagram. And there's nothing wrong with that because you still get to do your travel for free. So speaking of that, tell us about the experience. Tell us about your flights and your hotels and your routes and the entire trip.
Well, first of all, I was super nervous when I had to transfer my points to United. It was such a scary feeling, like, oh my gosh, this better work. But basically, since we both had about 100,000 points each, what I basically did was like, okay, I'll use my points for hotels. My husband will use the points he got for the flights. So United is actually, I kind of looked up, okay, what's the easiest redemption I can do? What's the easiest way I could go about this? And United has a lot of availability in economy. I felt like every day they had 30,000 points one way in economy. So it was really easy to find the availability. And I live in California, so we did San Francisco to Paris one way. That was 30,000 points each. And then I wanted to take advantage of the excursionist perk that you guys have talked about. It just didn't work out. And then I made a change in the trip halfway, so I couldn't take advantage of it. So I paid cash for a flight from Paris to Florence. From Florence, we just took trains to Rome. From Rome, we took a bus into Positano and a bus back to Rome. And then another economy flight on United from Rome back to San Francisco for 30,000 points each. So in total, it was 120,000 points for the both of us round trip. And that's pretty much the standard with United. And I think for a lot of other airlines, it'll cost you around that much for economy.
Do you remember what you had to pay in taxes and fees?
Oh, it was maybe like $150 for both of us for a round trip. Yeah, it wasn't that much. I think it was $5.60 for the one there, but the one back, I think, had more. It would be more taxes.
Yeah, that makes sense because the airport tax in the U.S. is so low with the $5.60, which is also why all of our airports are worse than everywhere else in the world because they have higher taxes that go towards nicer airports and a lot of other things. But United tends to have pretty reasonable taxes and fees. I know that sometimes British Airways can have good redemptions towards Europe, good availability, but then the taxes are shocking. On that one, I don't remember exactly how much they cost, but people will pay their points and then they'll get to the checkout box on British Airways and then just be in shock with the hundreds of dollars that they are charging for taxes and fees. So something to keep in mind as well as you're doing different points flights. So tell us about each of these cities and where did you stay, which hotels, and did you use points or find a good cash rate? How did you book them?
Well, in Paris, we used Hyatt. We actually, since all the good ones were sold out, we went with the small luxury hotel of the world, which was great. It ended up being really great because you get free breakfast when you book through them. Because of the availability, we had to do 2 nights at this small luxury hotel and then 1 night at the Paris Madeleine, which was a hotel not too far away from the other one. So it worked out great, though. We got to stay in 2 different hotels, so that was interesting to get so that when we go back, we kind of know where we want to stay next time. And when you get to the airport in Paris, CDG, you just follow the taxi signs and the taxi rate is a flat rate from the airport to the city. I would say that's the best way to do it, because to get there, be jet lagged, and try to figure out the train system felt like too much. I was like, let's just follow the taxi signs, get in line. It's going to be a flat rate. We're not going to get ripped off. And it's going to take us straight to the hotel. And even though we got there super early before check-in, we let them know ahead of time. And so our room was ready. So that was awesome. Same thing with the other hotel when we had a switch. We went there and dropped off our luggage because it was really early, and they had a room ready very quickly. So I think both of the hotels, the small luxury hotel, which was Hotel des Lettres, and the Paris Madeleine, both had great service, super friendly. We just had a great experience at both places. And for the small luxury hotel, I want to say it was around 25,000 points. And same thing for the Paris Madeleine. I think it was like around 25,000 a night, which we just used our points that we got through Chase and transferred them to Hyatt to book those hotels. And I think it was a lot of points, but knowing like that the hotels were sold out and all these sporting events were happening, I didn't really check the cash price, but I'm pretty sure it was like over $500 a night in Paris those days.
I can't believe we've already recorded more than 100 podcast episodes. It feels like we just started yesterday, but we've already covered so many great points and mile strategies on this show and have many more to come. If you're new to this show or looking to level up your points game quickly, I offer a bunch of resources at geobreezetravel.com/start here. It includes links to free consults, free trials to some of my favorite points tools, and also links to services like group coaching, which start at only $5 per session through the Patreon. Again, that's geobreezetravel.com/start here, which I have linked for you in the show notes. And speaking of the Patreon, this week's Patreon shout out goes out to Amaryllis. Thank you so much for being a part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community. You made a really good point about small luxury hotels and how you get free breakfast with those, which I think a lot of people forget about, because so many people are like, oh, I got free breakfast because I'm Hyatt Globalist. But you don't have top tier Hyatt status, right?
No. And I wish I did, because it sounds amazing, but there's no way I can do 60 nights or even put that much spend on a credit card to get it. Although after this trip, my husband is like in love with Hyatt now. And he's like, how can we get Globalist? I want it. And I was like, it would be a lot of work, but maybe one day. But yeah, he loves Hyatt now. And it's his favorite. And my husband is very much just like, he's just tagging along for the ride. I'm the one who knows about the points and everything. And I just tell him like, use this card. Now use this one. Now I'm going to send you a link applying for this credit card, and he's totally down for it. But yeah, after this experience at Europe, he's like definitely a Hyatt fan.
Was he on board with the whole points thing in the beginning, or did it take a little bit of convincing him to get a credit card?
No, he was pretty on board with it. He wasn't as excited as I was, but he's like, sure, I'll do it. And sometimes he uses the wrong card when he goes to the store, but it's okay. I try not to get mad. But yeah, I was even thinking of trying to put stickers on the credit cards just to remember, like, okay, which one using where. But when it's a small purchase, it doesn't really matter too much.
Yeah, as long as you're meeting your minimum spends, then it's all good for the most part after that. And then the Card Pointers app helps as well.
Yeah, for sure. Although once you kind of get the hang of it, you kind of like remember, you kind of know, okay, dining, we'll use our Chase card. Anywhere else, if we're at Target, we just got the Venture X, so we'll use our Venture X, which I've been loving. 2X everywhere, it's easy, you don't have to think about it too much.
Yeah, the Venture X, or even just the regular Capital One Venture, is really good for miscellaneous spend if you're like, I don't know how this is going to code, and I left my phone at home, I can't check the Card Pointers app. The Venture X will earn you at least 2 points per dollar. So when in doubt, we just use that one.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, I could have just like memorized a couple of the more important bonus categories that we use, like dining, fuel. I know at pharmacies, I'll use the Freedom Flex. But yeah, so after Paris, we went to Florence. And actually there, we stayed at a Marriott. After we applied for our Chase Sapphire cards, I did apply for the Marriott Boundless through Chase and use that bonus for the hotel there, which I can't remember exactly the bonus. I think it was 125,000 points plus a free night certificate. And yeah, that basically covered the 3 nights that we stayed there in Florence. The hotel was AC Marriott, and it was a little bit out of the main center of town in Florence, but it was the only hotel I found that I had enough points for. And it was like walking distance to the center of town. So it worked out. And then in Rome, we used a Hyatt again. It was the Tribune Hotel next to the Borghese Gardens. And much to our surprise, because we didn't even email the hotel beforehand, we got upgraded to a really nice junior suite. We were so surprised. It just happened. We didn't ask for it. We had no idea. They're like, oh, we're going to upgrade you to, I think she said something like, it's the biggest room we have. And I was like, oh, okay. And so we get there and it's a gorgeous room. And it was just beautiful. It was a huge room, huge bed. We were so excited. I felt like the biggest win in our trip and just really nice, like an unexpected. And I think, yeah, part of it is because my husband was enrolled in the program and everything. And I don't know, it just happened. It was awesome.
Did either of you even have the World of Hyatt card at this point?
My husband did, yes.
Okay. So he probably had Discoverist status, which just comes with the card. So level 1 status with Hyatt. And sometimes that can be enough to get you these awesome upgrades. You didn't even have to write to them or anything. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, he had, I think, at this point, we're at level 2 after all those nights. But yeah, at that point, it was just the basic low-level status with Hyatt. But they're such a great brand, a great service. That's part of the reason my husband loves them now. We had great service every time at all the hotels we stayed at with them. So yeah, that was, I would say, the biggest win, because I looked it up. The cash rate was like almost $600 for that room, and it was only 15,000 points per night.
That is an incredible redemption, especially for your first big trip. That's so great.
Yeah, that was awesome. We didn't want to leave.
And then this was in Rome. So after that, that was the last leg of your trip?
Yeah, that was in Rome. And then after that, we took a bus into Positano. It's actually very difficult to get to Positano, and there really aren't that many points hotels there. It's kind of an expensive destination, but I had a $100 hotels.com gift card, and we booked in Positano. We just booked an Airbnb for 2 nights and then used the $100 hotels.com gift card to stay at a hotel there. So 3 nights in Positano, took the bus back to Rome, stayed at a little airport hotel next to the airport in Rome. And we used the $50 hotel credit that comes with the Chase Sapphire preferred credit card to book that little airport hotel, so that we were just at the airport and the next morning we could just get up, go straight to the airport and head home.
How were the airports? Did you have access to the lounges at this point with the Capital One Venture X or anything?
Yeah, we did. And that's part of the reason we went with the Venture X, because it's the more affordable of all the credit cards to get lounge access. So that we went with that one, and we flew out of San Francisco, so with United, but we couldn't get into the lounge. The lounge there, I think, was the Air France lounge that you could get into, but it was just way out of the way. But we just did a restaurant, one of the restaurants that you can go to and that they'll give you a credit to, that was right next to our gate. And we had like the best food. we had like burgers and Coke. Like, it was awesome because it basically, the credit covered almost the whole meal. And I didn't have to eat the gross airplane food. I tasted the food on United and it was gross. Like, I don't think I could have eaten it. So I'm so happy that we had that credit through the VentureX and we were able to eat really good before we got on the plane.
That is a good hack. Load up at the lounge or the Priority Pass restaurant. And then if you want to save points flying in economy, you can just be like, I'm just going to sleep for these 8 hours or however long the flight is and not have to eat the United economy food. Or sometimes you can even bring food from an airport restaurant to go and then just eat a slice of pizza or something on your plane as well. And they'll even warm it up for you if you ask nicely for the flight attendants to warm up your food.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can bring your own food and economy. And if they're like, hey, would you like the questionable chicken or the questionable fish? We'll be like, can you just pop my pizza into your little oven for a little bit and then bring it back to me? That'd be great. And most of the time they'll say yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was awesome. But we love that. On the way back, so the thing with Priority Pass, there isn't a lounge at every terminal next to every gate. So, like, we would just look on the app, see what was, sometimes there was nothing. So it's not like you'll be able to use it every time, I feel. But we were able to use it before we got on our flight to Paris. And then we had a layover in Switzerland, and we were able to find a lounge there that was actually not even close to our gate, but it had food. And what was really funny is that I think on the app, it says like there's a dress code. And my husband was really nervous. He's like, I don't think they're going to let us in. Like, it says that there's a business casual dress code. And we were not really dressed up at all. And he was like, no, we can't go in. Like, there's a dress code. They're not going to let us in. I was like, let's just try. Let's just ask. And sure enough, like, they didn't even mention it. It wasn't a problem. But yeah, like, if you just read like, oh, dress code, then you might not even try to get in. But they didn't say anything. So, and we got to eat there in Switzerland during our layover. And again, I didn't have to eat the the flight food. And also it was saved us money.
Yeah, a lot of people have asked about dress codes at different airport lounges. I normally walk in looking like I'm about to go to yoga class. They mostly just don't want you to show up in like a fishnet swimsuit cover up because that's not tasteful at all. But if you show up in leggings and a sweatshirt, they don't care.
I just thought it was really cute how worried he was.
For sure. Anything else about your trip that you want to highlight? This sounds like an incredible first redemption.
Yeah, it was our first time in Europe. So a lot of things we just didn't know. If it's going to be your first time in Europe, just realize that restaurants don't open till like 7 p.m. So if you're used to having dinner at 5 p.m., that's not going to happen. And we got used to it eventually, but I just thought it was funny. Such a difference in culture. It's cheaper to just order a small pitcher of wine to share than to order soda. It's so just when in Rome, you know, just order the wine, go with it. And also, like, people don't really wake up early over there. So don't feel like you have to wake up early to get to places. I mean, unless you want to get there before everyone else so you can get the picture without people in your picture. But the first couple of days we tried like waking up early, and there's nothing open. Especially in Paris, like, it was a ghost town at 8 a.m. And so we're like, you know what? Let's just sleep in, have breakfast in our hotel, enjoy it, and then head out, like, at 10. And things open. Even, like, certain lunch places don't open till noon. So things just open later in Europe. And, yeah, just sleep in, get your rest, and you won't be missing anything.
Great tips. And so from everything you've learned about points and miles in your first year in the game, what would you say is your number one travel hacking tip for beginners?
Just start accumulating points. And I love the phrase, earn and burn, because those points aren't going to be worth more a year from now. They might even be worth less. So just start earning it. Even if you're on a budget, start with the Freedom Flex. It doesn't cost anything, and it has great bonus categories to start spending on. And then once you want to redeem those points, get the Chase Sapphire and just start earning those points so that when you want to go somewhere, you have points to use. Yeah.
Those are great tips. I know that the Chase Sapphire is the one most people recommend to start with. And I think that's because most people, if you're landing on a points blog, people assume you want to get into points. But if you're listening to this and you're like, I don't even know if I want to do this, that is incredible advice. So start with the Chase Freedom Flex, because there's no annual fee. You get 5x per dollar on rotating categories. If you decide you don't want to do travel in the future, then just cash it out. Do the cash back. You can do that. Or if you do decide that you want to use it for all of these different first class redemptions, economy redemptions, fun Hyatt hotels, then you can get a gateway card like the Chase Sapphire Preferred and use them that way. I love that. And speaking of great advice, can you give a shout out to somebody else on the internet who listeners should go follow for awesome points and miles tips?
Yeah, I found this account at Your First Free Trip, and I think it's very beginner friendly. She kind of breaks it down very easy steps that you can follow, especially if it's your first time, it's going to be your first trip. And I would say follow everybody, because everybody has great tips and information. That's what pretty much what I do. I try to just follow as many people as possible.
Yeah. And for anybody who's like, well, who's everybody? You can just go through the whole list of podcast episodes. And I have everybody's Instagram handles in there. So you can just go through and follow everybody on the list. And speaking of Instagram and following everyone, where can people find you on the internet if they have any other questions?
Well, I did just start a little Instagram page and put my Europe trip on there. If anybody wants to reference the hotels and stuff, it's yes2_travel on Instagram. Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Arely, so much for coming on to the show today and talking about your amazing first redemption to Europe, and also the very important message for people that all travel is aspirational. There's so many people who can only dream of doing some of the things that we get to do on this podcast and that people get to do when they travel on points and miles or use any travel at all. So thank you so much for that message and for sharing with us your incredible trip.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It was very cool, awesome privilege for me. And yeah, it definitely is aspirational. Like, I almost cried on my trip because I was so, like, I could not believe I was there. So, and I try to tell everybody that I know, hey, like, you can take trips like this with points. And I think it's a lot of people, I wouldn't say everybody, because there's people who don't have access to credit cards, but a lot of people can do this.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!